And so with that experience, I'm able to listen to my mentee who is now caring for their loved one and just give them some empathy and their reassurance.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the M&D New South Wales podcast, The Time We Have. I'm Sabine Krajewski, and today for the first time, I have two guests to speak with.
Welcome, Joe Thorne and Tony Holcroft.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi,
Tony. Hi, Joe.
There is a reason we're doing this episode together.
Because you are both involved in the same project, the Carer Mentor Program facilitated by M&D New South Wales. But let me first get to know you a little bit better. Joe, whereabouts are you at the moment? Where are you zooming in from?
I live in Manila, Spain, near Tamworth, 50 kilometres northwest of Tamworth. And
been to Tamworth.
It's a lovely country town. I've lived here for over 30 years. Really enjoy it here, yes.
Okay. Tell us a bit about yourself. Are you from Tamworth? Are you from the area? Or where did you grow up?
No, I was actually born in England.
Okay.
And came to Australia as a 10-pound pom with my family in my teens. Campbelltown in Sydney. Went to school at Campbelltown. And then when I left school, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I was looking at going to Teachers College, which didn't start till later in the year. In the meantime, I started working in an accountant's office and I discovered that I really enjoyed that sort of work. So I enrolled in some accounting training and that's what I've been doing the rest of my working life, just in administration and that type of thing. And I still do it, even though I'm retired now, I do some bookkeeping from home part-time, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. It's good that we can work from home now, isn't it?
Yes.
Some more opportunities and cool. Tony, you're also more rural than I am here in the north of Sydney. Where are you?
I'm Newcastle, which isn't very rural. I mean,
it isn't. What was I thinking? Okay.
That's all right. My wife and I live in Newcastle, in the east end of Newcastle, in an apartment in an old building quite close to the beach and to the harbour.
Oh, beautiful.
A lot going for us here. Yeah, it is. It's good.
Tony, what are your favourite things to do? What are you passionate about?
Passionate about? I enjoy, really enjoy travel. And whether it's the big overseas stuff that we were doing before M&D came along, or even our more local things that we do now. So I enjoy travel and adventure, not on the wild adventure, but I refer to them as small adventures, whether hikes or bike trips or finding a waterfall or things like that. So yeah, very much enjoy that. And now I'm retired, I've got the time to do more of it.
Yeah, it does sound quite active and you like the outdoors.
So you already mentioned that your wife has M&D and we'll get back to that. Joe, your husband Bunny had motor neurone disease and he died 2.5 years ago. Tell us a bit more about Bunny. What was he like? What did you love about him?
Oh, he was just a happy fellow. He loved his family and loved helping people. He was a great talker. And one of the saddest things about M&D, the first, he had bulbar motor neurone, the swelling in your respiratory system. And it was his speech that was the first thing that showed there was something wrong. And and did go within about 6 months. His speech was totally gone. Yeah, he just loved people and liked to help. And he was a very good handyman. He making things and repairing things. Yes, Bunny worked on the land most of his life. And he was very, very good at making things and fixing things. And he was a hoarder. He didn't ever throw anything away. And when we came to clean out his shed after he passed away, and it's a big shed, and I filled about 3 trailerfuls with scrap metal, bits of every nail and bolt he'd ever had, I think.
But, well, if he's a hoarder and it's only the shed, you're actually lucky, aren't you?
Yes.
Could be the whole house.
Yeah. And he had a good sense of humour and he was joking. And he tried to maintain that throughout his illness. And I think one of the best examples I remember was we got a companion dog for him and bought a collie, which we called Bear. And on the first afternoon that Bear was with us, Claire, Bunny and I were sitting out on the veranda and Bunny used to write on a whiteboard because he couldn't speak by then. And he wrote something on the whiteboard and he held it up and he said, "I hope the dog can read."
And I'm sure it could.
Yes. But what other kind of support did you have? Who was your support system or your support?
Well, we had great support. First of all, my family were wonderful. Claire moved home just before Bunny was finally diagnosed and is still here, and she took up a caring role with me.
And
we have other older children, my son and his partner in Tamworth, one of my sons, and they were wonderful visiting. And they had a little baby 6 months before called Dusty, 6 months before Bunny passed away. So he brought us great joy in those last few months, you know, to have the baby around. And the rest of the family who don't live close were great support.
Yeah.
And probably the biggest support we got, though, out of the home was MND. They were absolutely wonderful.
You mean MND New South Wales?
New South Wales, Association, yes. So yeah. They were our first people to contact because we knew nothing about motor neurone disease. Right. And the education, the equipment, just the whole caring that they provided for us was amazing.
Yeah, okay. I said in the beginning that we'll talk about a carer mentor program that you're both involved in. And Joe, you are a carer mentor. What is that? Can you talk to that?
Yes. Well, my understanding of when I took this role on was I'm a person who's been a carer for a loved one with motor neurone disease. Mm-hmm. And I've navigated through all the learning that you do and the experiences that journey takes you on. And so with that experience, I'm able to listen to my mentee who is now caring for their loved one and just give them some empathy and their reassurance about what they're doing, perhaps share ideas of anything that helped me and encourage them to remember to take care of themselves as well, because that's very important.
Very important, yes. Mm. Tony, you're sort of on the other side in that program. You're a mentee, although you're not Joe's mentee. You have a different mentor and Joe has a different mentee, obviously. So the reason is that you're caring for your wife, Narelle. Can you tell us a little bit about her, first of all? What brought you two together?
Narelle and I met when I moved up to the Central Coast for work. And we worked at the same place and we met there. So it was one of those work things and we were together for 7 years and then got married 36 years ago. So we're coming up for 36 years. So we've been together in that time and started out together on the Central Coast and then went out to the Central West, the Gilgandra, a small town in the Central West. We had a terrific time there in our late 20s and early 30s. Our daughter was born there and then we moved down to the parks together. Our son was born there and then we moved over this way to around the Maitland area and then to here. But Narelle's been many things. She was working in a library when we first met, but she's very kind and she's given up and done a lot for me, including moving to towns with me and starting new jobs and meeting new people and the like of that. And she's done that very well. So she's got friends and experiences.
Yeah.
And probably her best work experience was in when she turned 50, when the kids didn't need her full-time anymore, she became a nurse. She decided to take up nursing and she did. She had worked in public libraries and then worked in technical libraries and worked with a rural financial counsellor and worked in offices and worked for TAFE. A whole variety of things. It gave a real broad body of experience, but the thing she was really passionate about was the nursing, and she really took to that. And I think she was the only 50-year-old in her class when she did her studies on that, but she ended up winning the award for the best enrolled nurse trainee for her year, which was a wonderful thing.
And because she knew what she wanted.
Yeah, she did. Cool. And she had some good experience and very intelligent person too. So, and that's been very helpful because she's our go-to person, whether it's for me or with her two elderly parents or our kids and their partners and our grandson. So she's a wealth of knowledge and information in that regard. Yeah, so that was the work side to her. And she loves being a mum, loves being a grandmother too. It's one of the sadnesses that she, with the MND, her movement and how much time she could spend looking after our grandson. She would have liked to spending more time with him, but it's not that easy.
Right.
Yeah, she was going up to Maitland twice a week to look after the young fellow before he started preschool, but that became more difficult with her as the MND progressed. But we still see them, and our daughter's great in coming down to see us now.
Okay. So Narelle has been diagnosed with PLS, and many of our listeners or many people will know there are different types of motor neurone disease, and the most common is ALS, which is amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and PLS is more rare. Can you explain what that is?
A little. I'm not particularly medical because Narelle being the layman's version there. PLS is primary lateral sclerosis, which, like ALS, affects the voluntary muscles. So it's the upper motor neurons in the brain, the spine. It affects the voluntary muscles, particularly the arms and legs. Most commonly starts out in the legs. It is a very rare disease. I mean, anyone involved in MND knows how rare that is. Only, 2,000 cases in Australia. 500 in New South Wales, and a very small subset of that is PLS. The big difference is it's the, as I said, the voluntary muscles rather than the involuntary ones like the respiratory and the swallowing and things like that. as a consequence, it's a longer lasting form. There are a Professor Rowe who's treating neurologists down at Macquarie. He and his very good team.
Yeah.
Told Narelle could live as long a life as she would otherwise, as long as she avoids falls, which she was having a lot of early on, but she's in a wheelchair now, so that's one way to avoid falls. Anyway, yeah, okay. So Narelle's journey could be a 30-year one rather than a 3-year. So it's a blessing of a sort.
Yeah, you see the positive in it, sure.
Yeah, so PLS has a more gradual progression and affects the upper motor neurons only. Yeah,
so your husband had bulbar onset, as you said before, right? So his first symptoms, did he start with speech and swallowing?
Yes. It was 6 months to diagnosis and then 2 years to when he passed away.
We already talked a tiny bit about the program, the carer mentoring program. So I'm asking, and this is either one of you could answer or both of you if you like, what were your main motivations to sign up for it? And what does sign up actually look like? What did you do to participate and to sign up as a carer mentor or as a mentee?
Well, if I can, I will.
Sure.
Yeah. I just wanted to give the opportunity to give back something to Motor Neuron Association, because they really, you know, carried us through that whole journey. And there was a meeting in Tamworth, which I wasn't able to go to, of an MND representative for the people who had lost their family one, their loved one. And because I couldn't go, I just had a phone conversation with the lady a little bit later, and I said, is there anything I can help with? And she said that this project was coming along and would I be interested, and just moved on from there. And there were some guidelines and rules we had to read, first of all, and sign and acknowledge the confidentiality and so on.
Tony, how about you?
It's mine's actually two parts. One is the same as Joe's, in that I was happy to give, or very happy to give back something to MND New South Wales, because they already, in a couple of years, have been very good, very helpful for us. So if I can, you know, repay that in a little way, I'm happy to do that. The second part is for myself. I saw it potentially as another form of help for me in a different dimension, to put different to from the support group and the kitchen table conversations. I enjoy both of those.
Yeah,
this was another thing, so I was happy to do that. I'll take all the help I can get. I mean, I'm going to be a carer for 30 years. It's a long road. It's going to be a long road.
So that's true.
If I can get help through organisations and family and friends, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And yeah, similarly, there were a few, I'd read a few forms and sign a few declarations. Crikey, we sign a lot of those, don't we?
Yeah.
So no problem.
Okay.
It's been good.
It's really interesting to hear your side of it, because, I mean, it's great that you want to give back to MND New South Wales, but of course, MND New South Wales set this up to help their carers, right? Not the other way. It shouldn't be the other way around. I just want to clarify that. It's supposed to be for your good, not for the organizations. What do you like about the program, or what way do you think it's a positive experience for you?
Well, I just like the opportunity of being able to help another carer. Someone that they can tell their thoughts and concerns to confidentially, and you can just be a good listener and again reassure them that they are doing a good job, and not to feel regretful or guilty about things out of their control. Know that they're doing the best in their situation, because I think inevitably when the journey comes to an end, or it did for me, you look back and you think, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that, but you do your best at the time. There's such a lot of changes that in our case happen so rapidly. You're just meeting every day as it comes, and each challenge being, the advocate for your, well, for me, for Bunny, and doing the best you can to help them. And we got, I didn't mention earlier, but we got wonderful support also from the palliative care team at Tamworth Hospital. And they were wonderful, an OT and a palliative care nurse. And,
you need a whole multidisciplinary team to really look at this. But does when you look after another carer, does it affect your own life? Do you think back about your own time as a carer a lot?
Yes. Yes, there are things that, you know, you let go back into your memory and perhaps don't think about too much, and you get busy with life. And then when you're having a chat to your mentee, and in my case, that person's loved one has a similar type of motor neuron disease to what Bunny did. And when they might mention about the swallowing, and you think back to when Bunny couldn't swallow and needed to go onto peg feeding. And yes, it does. It just brings back lots of things.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, it doesn't hurt to remember.
How does mentoring the other carer affect your own grief? Do you feel it's helpful for you to go through that again, or do you feel that sometimes your grief becomes stronger because of your empathy for your mentee?
It has, you know, as I do get a little bit teary sometimes about things when I think about them. But can I talk about a bit of grief here, or talk about
absolutely,
later? Because you mentioned that you might ask me about grief, and how it affects me and how I handle it. And I had to think very deeply about that, you know, what is the grief? And to me, it's just the love that's in your heart for someone that you've lost and you never forget them. Mm-hmm. And you don't forget what they had to go through and endure. So it just creeps out of your heart at the most unexpected times. You could be just chatting to someone down the street and they tell you something, a bit of news, and you think, oh, I must go home and tell Bunny that, just for that fleeting second, you know.
Yeah.
Or I'm playing with my beautiful little grandson, Dusty, and you're watching him do something and you just know that Bunny would have loved to have been here playing with him in the garden and so on. So how do I deal with the grief was something that you had discussed with me before, and I just let the tears come more in private. But to me, grieving, it's your heart crying. And so then I try to think of happy times and the memories that we had together and the blessings that I've got in my life now. I'm very, very fortunate, you know, good family. Mm-hmm.
I know that you still grieve a lot. So a special thank you again to you, Joe, for still participating in a podcast to create awareness for M&D. It's really wonderful and very much appreciated. Tony, what were your expectations when you started the mentoring relationships? What did you hoping or are still hoping to get out of it?
Yeah, I can answer that. Beforehand, can I just give a wrap for Joe too? She must be doing a good job as a mentor, because I know there's confidentiality here, but at our last kitchen table conversation, the mentee, the person who's working with Joe, mentioned this program, and she said, yeah, she put her hand up and said she's involved in it. She said that her mentor was doing a wonderful job, and she mentioned her name, and the penny dropped. So it sounds like she's getting a lot out of it too, Joe.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah, she's a very nice person, and that's all you want. Mm. You just want to know that you are giving some help.
Certainly sounds like you are. Yeah, my expectations, I actually didn't have any particular expectations. It was a program. I went into it with an open mind and I understood what was involved and the parameters. It took, I think, one or two chats to get to know, get a bit of a handle on the person I was working with. And he's a fine person, and he's, you know, living life post, can't say post caring, because he never stopped caring.
Yeah.
I think you can say that, can't you?
Yeah. But
he's now doing the things that, or that they were going to do together, he and his wife, who also passed about 2 years ago. And it's including, you know, the new caravan and the trip around Australia and catching up with people and doing a bunch of things. And yeah, he's still grieving too. He wishes that she was in the big four-wheel drive with him doing the trip, but he's got lots of good people around him. So it's a bit of precarious travel with this too. So he's never in the same place when he's sort of, we'll be talking to him again this Friday. I think he's going to be in West Australia at this stage. It's good to have a bit of a chat to somebody who's on the road and sort of getting to know each other, and just somebody who's been down that road. And his wife didn't have PLS, and there's, as I understand, there's very few people in that category, so it's not going to be likely to tee up too.
Yeah.
They might be 80 or 90 years old, but still it is MND, and it is worthwhile, even though he has different perspectives on things. But I think the real value for me is reflecting on what he says and then thinking about it in my context or what it means to me. He's talking about grief, and he's still grieving, but he doesn't dwell on it too much, and that could be a bit of a male thing too. And I've heard this from a couple of other people, that particularly one person whose wife only had a couple of months to go, and he's saying that when she does pass, that he's not planning to spend a lot of time of grieving. He's going to get his surfboard and get on with life, kind of thing. And sure, he won't forget the person, but you won't make grieving your preoccupation. So we haven't talked much about grieving, but there's other good sources.
I wonder if you can really predict how you grieve. It might creep up on you if you want to or not.
Sorry, Joe.
I was just going to comment on what Tony said about moving on and, you know, having a life. And I think that's very important. The person you've lost would want you to do that. And you have to just keep moving, create a new life for yourself. And you don't forget them at all, but involve yourself in all the things you like doing and keep going ahead.
Yeah.
Is that where hope comes into a bit too? Going at too much of a tangent at that excellent M&D New South Wales weekend away up at Port Macquarie, and there's also one in Canberra where they had her name was Mandy Sabine. You can
agree,
Mandy,
who's a
Mandy Cox.
Oh yeah, and her session was on grief, loss, and hope. When I saw that on the program, I thought, what's hope got to do with this? But in the context, and I think but you did very, very well describing like the seasons too in some way. I think grief and loss were autumn and winter, and hope was spring, and that sort of resonated with me too.
Right. I think it is important to talk about grief, even though it might be hard, but it is hard, but it is really important to get our heads around what it means and that it is an individual thing and that there is nothing wrong with grieving as long as you grieve. You just the way it is. But it also means there is hope for something new. It, the one doesn't exclude the other. And Joe, Tony, I wanted to ask you back to the program. Do you feel that you and also your mentor benefit? Because it sounded a bit like you sort of help each other a bit. Do you feel like it's a give and take?
I think so. Certainly, I know I benefit. Clearly, I sort of enjoy the chats, and I think I can tell by the way when I'm afterwards. I enjoy talking to this fellow, and he seems to enjoy it too. He's very keen to link up each month, and he likes telling his story. He's pretty relaxed about it all. And again, I think like Joe, wanting to help and give back, because he speaks very highly of the support that his wife and he got through their journey. So, or if you asked him, he'd be positive about it. It's no big. I don't think he likes helping people. He's been in that nature, and so. In some ways, if I'm someone to talk to for half an hour while he's driving across the Nullarbor, so that's not a bad thing. But yeah, we just want to fit in around. We postpone it if he gets busy doing other stuff. I mean, he's not my lifeline number. And we always say that. We tee up a time, but we know that if either of us get busy, and I think I pushed one back too because it got busy here one day and just a quick text saying, can we put it off? And then another exchange, we tee up another day. Yeah, right. So it's another level. It's everything from, I've got access to a good counsellor if and when I need one, which is good. Yep. And there's the stuff through MND New South Wales, and there's the family and friends. I've got no shortage of people I want to talk to. But this is another layer, and somewhere it sits somewhere in the middle of all that.
Yeah. Do you speak with Narelle about the mentoring program at all? Do you feel that it's supporting you both?
Yes, I do. It's obviously it's primarily for me, but. Yeah. Narelle is very mindful of the impact of her MND on me, on my life. We've had discussions about that, and she's always keen to make sure I still live my life and that I go for rides and walks and catch up with friends and things like that. And that, she even this morning, she's made sure that she's all sorted and comfortable while I'm doing this for a bit of time. But, she's always keen on this sort of stuff, and she's interested. Yeah, and I'll come out from my phone conversations and have had a good chat, and she's interested to know, whether it's still worthwhile. She doesn't have a specific conversation, but she's interested to know that Chap and I have had a chat and it's going well.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the kitchen table conversation. I think it's a really good thing too, monthly catch-ups with people who are doing the journey.
Yeah. What do you think is the difference, and this is to both of you, be interested in how you feel about that. What do you get out of a care or mentor relationship that you can't get out of a support group such as the kitchen table conversations?
I'm not involved in the kitchen table conversations. I hadn't heard of those until I met Tony.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. I went to a couple of support group meetings in Tamworth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bunny was unwell, but he didn't want to go to them.
Mm.
He just didn't want to sit and listen to other things that will talk about himself. No. I haven't had much involvement in any other program apart from this one that we're in now.
Okay, Tony?
They're certainly different. I mean, the kitchen table conversation is good. It's on that one Thursday a month at 7 o'clock, and with a cup of tea or a glass of wine, you sit down and talk to other people who have just come from doing likewise and having cooked dinner or done the washing up or whatever. And it's not a misery club. It's well facilitated, and people talking about how they're going, and some people sort of come and go very quickly, and others are there.
Yeah.
Enjoy it pretty much every month they're there, and you sort of hear how they're going, and you share ideas. Sometimes it can be simple as tips on how to, about equipment and services and support that's available. Mm-hmm. You share that some sort of stuff, or have a few laughs about things and give each other ideas and a bit of encouragement. That's self-help group in some ways. It's good, whereas there's not that sort of different. It's almost the polar opposite, the yin and the yang, talking to the mentor. Obviously, they're not involved in it currently, but they can reflect back on it. They've been through it. That probably the perspective you get from the distance, from
that's a major difference.
Like Jo's able to do now for the mentee, but she's been through that and she's had time to reflect on it. And then she can be not someone who's having to deal with it at the same time as they're listening to somebody else talk. I think it's good, very complimentary.
Yeah. it's complementary is one thing that's good, and group sessions are not for everyone. So mm-hmm. the mentoring program is really one-on-one and very different. And I think the perspective you just pointed out is really important there, Tony, that you have someone who's been on that journey and has a distance and time to reflect a little bit on it. If you could change something in the program, what would it be? Is there something that you would say, that would still be missing, or that's something that could be changed?
Not from my point of view, I don't think, because it's very open-ended, you know, it's how often that you speak and what you discuss.
Yeah.
It's just something that becomes a pattern between yourself and your mentee.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly open to anything they would like to talk or ask about.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine having several mentees, or do you think just one is enough?
No, I could certainly do more, because we don't, it's not something that you do every week. You know, it might only be once a month, and sometimes mm-hmm. it's a little longer depending mm-hmm. on our lives. So no, I could imagine that I certainly could be interested in having an additional one.
Tony, what are your thoughts? Anything that could be improved or that would be even better?
No, similarly, when I thought about this, the program's working well for me. So I didn't have any particular expectations of it, so it hasn't failed anything.
Okay.
It is beneficial. I do look forward to it. There was appropriate rigor beforehand about what's involved, but it has that good open-endedness to it. I don't know what the screening or selection process was for the mentors, but obviously you would have picked stable people who could. It's working well for me. And
Tony, was that a question that you asked,
assuming, I'm taking it on faith or trust that you've gone through an appropriate selection process. I'm quite sure that Joe and the person that I've been talking with are selected as very mature, balanced people, geared or handled quite well, and won't help to derail the person they're working with, particularly the ability to around grief and empathy and having good listening skills and a good balance on life, I think will be important.
Yeah.
Because not everybody comes out the other side of a caring role having dealt with their grief well. You knew a bit about the people that you brought on board. Hope you did anyway.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I mean, remember you all had to fill in a questionnaire, and we used that for matching.
Mind you, we're not psychologists, and we do not determine how stable a person is before we match them. We do our best, and also we monitor how it's going with the pairs and are able to make changes if something doesn't work well.
It's a small pilot study, but the reason I asked Jo if she were happy to take on more is we want to expand the program
and make it available to more carers.
If a good carer mentor can take on more than one person, that'd be, you know, very useful for us to know.
Yeah.
Depends a lot on the reasons that people gave in the questionnaire of why they want to participate or why they want to be mentors. The one thing that didn't quite work the way we wanted to is to also match by type of M&D. So you mentioned before, Tony, PLS is so rare that it's really hard for us to find somebody else who has had a loved one with PLS. Other criteria did work, and we also make sure that we monitor on a continuous basis. So you talked about Mandy, the grief counselor. So we meet once in a while with the carer mentors, and we invite Mandy so that we can make sure that everyone is fine in the process and that our carer mentors are also looked after or are able to ask questions or voice their concerns if they have any, either about themselves or about their mentees. And that is something that seems to be working very well, do you think, Jo?
Yes,
in your
it is.
Meetings? Yeah. Yeah. So we don't just match, but we sort of try to look after people while they're in that program. And so far, I can say that, we're really happy with it and with how it works. And it seems that everyone is happy with what they're doing.
Sabine, how many people are involved in the trial? How many are in the trial or in the current group?
Oh, I want to say it's a bit confidential.
At the moment, we have 5 carer mentors and 6 mentees.
It really started as a very small program.
So if you're listening and you are a carer of someone with M&D, or if you want to be a carer mentor, please get in touch.
Is there something you want to ask each other or add to each other or what has been said in this past hour?
No, it's been nice getting to know Tony and hear about his life and Narelle. And I wish you well, Tony and Narelle, on your journey.
Yes. Thanks. I appreciate that coming from you very much. Yeah, it's nice to think of someone up in Manila living a good life up there. It's a beautiful country up that way. was thinking too with your daughter Claire saying she moved home to help as a carer in that latter stage.
Yes, she was studying to do a PhD at the time and writing a thesis, and it was all quite hard, you know, with the interruptions and caring and visitors coming, and she'd hop up and make a cup of tea for people when they come and friends and so on. But it was great just to have someone here else with you in the house that you could talk to about things. When Bunny was, you know, getting unwell with the swallowing, we had a few choking episodes, which were very frightening at times. And just to have someone else here and hand on the phone ready to ring an ambulance a couple of times. But it's all part of, you know, what happened. But, yeah, it's just very lucky to have her. And I have other children as well, some live far away. I'm actually heading off to England in a couple of weeks to be with one of my sons and his wife. They're having a baby, their first baby. And then there's Dusty's family having another baby at the same time here. So it's a bit hard to try to split myself in half.
Sounds good, though. I meant to ask you, Joe, if Bunny is Bunny's real name or is it a nickname? Yes, I suppose it was a nickname.
I think it was a nickname that came when he was little, but he was the 11th of 12 children born out of Colorado Bray, way out west, and he was named Cedric Elwood.
Okay.
And apparently he used to push this little cart around and make a noise, and whatever happened with his tongue when he was making that noise, he pushed his teeth out a little bit out the front, so his sisters, which he had five of, called him Bunny.
Yeah. And that remained for the rest of his life.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
If I was cross with him, I would call him Cedric. He knew I wanted something.
Right. I always ask in every podcast, I ask people what they find important to do with their time. So can I ask Joe first, what do you find important to do with your time? What do you choose to spend your time on?
My top priority is my family and little Dusty that lives close by. As I've mentioned him a couple of times, he's just the greatest joy in my life, you know, at the moment, and it was just a blessing for after Bunny passed to have him to take, you know, my attention and look after. So that's very important, all of my family.
And you have lots of family.
We have older grandchildren, and now I'll have three little young ones as well soon. And I took up gardening after Bunny passed away. I had a lot of energy. I just needed to do something, and created a few gardens, which has been lovely. Only small gardens, just on a normal block. I like walking. I walk most mornings, every day I walk. And a little bit of travelling. Tony was mentioning about their travel. Bunny and I had a caravan, and we did a fair bit of travelling around Australia and really loved the caravan life. And after he passed away, I found it difficult to reverse our caravan into our garden. We live in a little lane, it's quite long caravan, so I sold it and bought this little 2005 15-foot tiny van that I call Mini. And I've joined a caravan club in Tamworth, very lovely people. And they go somewhere for the first weekend of every month, but not further than 300 kilometres. So it's easy to get away and come back for a weekend. And they're just lovely.
Did I hear that right? It's a caravan club?
Yes. There are many around Australia.
Yeah.
Lots. I actually joined but I went to a solos group initially. Yeah. And there were about 63 people all there traveling on their own, and they'd meet, you know, at a particular place. We went to the Barrington National Park, and they were lovely people, but they're based in the Hunter Valley, and it was just hard for me to get there for a weekend. It's about a 4-hour trip each way for things they do. But no, meet lovely people in these areas and on the road.
Okay.
That's my interest.
Same question to you, Tony. What do you find most worthwhile? What do you find important to spend time on?
About three dimensions. One is it's important to keep obviously helping Narelle, for her to be able to do the things she wants to do, and whether it's making sure we catch up with family, which is her first priority, and whether it's going to them or helping them to come to us, and then doing things with her friends or in some way. So there's that. And then there's the fun stuff for us too. So there's a bit of planning of our small adventures and the like of that. We've just come back from a midweek break up at Tingle Bay, which is just north from here. And there's a lovely accessible accommodation near the beach and some good paths and things. And we had a wonderful break there.
Yeah.
So we've done a couple of those. We've been to Urunga and also a few other trips like that. So we do that for us. And then for myself, walking's become my go-to or my backup plan, where I go to yoga once a week, and I like cycling, and I've got We've got lots of friends through cycling, so I like to get out once or twice a week for a ride to clear my head and to catch up with the friends and have a coffee with them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, getting out, I get cabin fever if I'm in the apartment for too long. So it's important to look after myself physically as well.
Definitely, yeah. That was the third dimension, was it?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. One for Narelle, one for us, and one for me.
Okay, brilliant.
Enjoyed hearing, so really hearing Jo talk about what she's doing now and her life now with travelling over to England to see her family and spend time with family here and that caravanning too. It's good that she just would have been sad if the old caravan was sold and that there was no replacement for it. But, yeah, it's good. And those caravan clubs, there's always a club for everything, whether it's caravans or walking or cycling or whatever. So, yeah, that's good.
And it's also, I think what I also hear from both of you is a bit of a connection to nature that is sort of happening there, but maybe a bit more than before, and that an inner peace. Yeah,
it does. It does.
Yeah, thank you both, Jo and Tony, for this wonderful interview and for spending your time with me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for organising that for us. And good luck, Tony, with your journey.
Thank you, Jo. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Sabine. Thank you, Jo. It's been lovely meeting you too.